You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 13 through 17 this morning. Just can't tell you how much we appreciate you beginning the first day of a brand new week with us here at Hardin Baptist Church. A special welcome to those who are joining, worshiping with us online this morning. Wow, wow. You know, if you've been coming to Hardin very long, that one of our core beliefs is identity determines behavior. It's just a core belief of Hardin. As we have preached through books of the Bible for 40 years, we have come to believe that the Bible teaches identity. Who we are determines behavior, what we do. If that's true, who we are determines what we do, identity determines behavior, then it means this is true. Behavior reveals identity. So if I want to see who you are, I should just be able to watch what you do, and eventually the way you conduct your life will reveal to me your identity. Peter has been hammering on identity. We are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a people for his possession. And then last week we discovered that we're also a sojourner and an exile. Wow. And because of our identity, Peter's telling us that we need to remember there is a war that we must win. And that war is not a war without. It's a war within. Even though we are a saint of God, a Christian, we still have an unredeemed flesh. From time to time, our unredeemed flesh is going to be at war with our spirit, and our unredeemed flesh is going to do some things that the spirit within us and the spirit of God and God our Father would not want us to participate in. And he tells us we've got to win this war with the passions of our flesh. And there's a reason. It's because he wants the Gentiles, Corey told us last week, that's code for unbelievers, to see our conduct and our conduct to be honorable. Why? Because God wants people to see what you're doing. Your good deeds that reveal who you are. So that ultimately, it'll glorify him on the day of visitation. Has anybody ever told you to do something you didn't want to do? Sure. Have you ever had that person who told you that the moment you resisted, they just wouldn't quit? Because of the relationship they had with you, they reminded you of who you were and you could do this and you were going to do this, but you didn't want to. That may be where we're going to be at this morning in this message. I want to be up front. Let's stand together and see what Peter's going to tell us to do that probably our flesh is going to struggle a little bit with. And maybe you have your flesh so under control that this will not give you a problem and you can just sleep during the message. But if you struggle a little bit with this, I'm going to ask you to stay awake, stay alert, because this is so, so very important. Verse 13, ESV version of the Bible. Be subject. That means be submissive for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor who is supreme. Y'all know who that would be in our day, right? Or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. You ready for this? Honor the emperor. You know who that is. This is not Brother Ricky's words. These are the Apostle Peter's words. Who every one of us in here believe when he wrote these words was inspired by God's Holy Spirit. Which means we believe this is God's word. Spoken not just to a church living in the Roman Empire, but to a church living in Western Kentucky that meets in a little town called Hardin. Amen? Father, wow. What a passage. What a command. Lord, we evaluated in our day, living in a republic with democratic principles, can't imagine being the church, hearing this from Peter, living under Nero. So Father, we're going to ask right now for you to anoint us with your spirit so that we don't just hear, we hear, we understand, but with every ounce of our fiber, we desire to be a doer. And if we say we want to be a doer of your word, we must be a doer of this passage too. And Father, I don't want to be a speaker only. I want to be a doer too. Father, right now we submit ourselves the best way we can to the control of your spirit, so that something real takes place here between us and your word. And then your word lodges within us and transforms us. Help us life this out, Father. And it's in your precious, precious Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Does anyone read out of a King James Version of the Bible? Show of hands. Thank you. New King James Version of the Bible. Thank you. You will notice that your verse begins with a word that those of us who read the ESV does not have. Because of me noticing this in my study, I checked out the Greek New Testament, and the King James is more accurate than the ESV. King James, New King James says, therefore, be subject. At Hardin, we love that word therefore, right? Every time we see that word therefore, it reminds us to stop and see what it's there for. Therefore is a connecting word. Those of us who've studied English grammar already realize that even though this is a new paragraph, it's continuing the same thought. The same thought is Peter is expressing identity, and because of our identity, he now expects our behavior to match our identity. He expects what we do to reveal who we are. He's just reminded us that we are sojourners and we are exiles, meaning this is not our home. But while we're here, we're in a battle. We've still got an unredeemed flesh. And God's wanting to move us further and further away from the image of Adam and more to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. But here's what he knows. There's a lot of talk in the community that's not correct. There's a misunderstanding about who the church is. And Peter's encouraging the church that the only thing that's going to get the world to see who they are is not by what they say, but by what they do. He wants the unbelievers to see their honorable behavior. He wants them to see their good deeds. And you know what the first deed he's going to tell us they need to see is? That we are a submissive people. I just want to let that sink in. I don't know about you, but when I fight my unredeemed flesh is normally leading me to put me ahead of others. It's kind of a me first kind of thing. It's kind of a make me great kind of thing. This paragraph, the next paragraph, the next paragraph. It's going to begin by saying, be subject. It's going to tell servants, you got to be submissive to your master. Can you imagine? You've been bought and sold, and you belong to another, and you go to church, and Peter tells you to be submissive to your master, even when he's unjust to you. And then he gives you an example. The example's Christ. When all those unjust things happened to Christ, he suffered. But his suffering brought grace to us, and he's going to tell the servants, this is actually a gracious thing in your life when you suffer. Then he's going to say to the ladies of the church, you be subject to your husbands. Every lady in here knows what that means. Because you're subject to your husbands, correct? And Peter's going to say, and he's going to highlight, even those of you ladies who are married to an unbelieving husband, you don't get an exemption. Still got to be subject. And then at the end of the letter, he's going to say to the younger ones in the church who are just coming into the faith, he's going to say, hey, when you see your elders, subject yourself to them. How you doing? Therefore, based on who we are and that God wants unbelievers to see our life, you know what he wants them to see in our life? Submissiveness. But he doesn't start with ladies. He doesn't bring in children like Paul does. And he doesn't begin with servants. He begins with all of us in the church. Being submissive to, you ready for this? Human institutions. In particular, the emperor and his governors. And Peter reminds the church living in the Roman Empire that the emperor, we submit to him as supreme. When it comes to human authority, in that day, he was the supreme authority. And Peter says to the church, to the Christian, submit. Not Brother Ricky. It's Peter. This word submit, it's a military word, hupotasso, that means to be under for order. And it pictures that authority structure in the military. There are people over and there are people under. And the reason there's people over and there's people under is so that when the military goes to battle, we need to be on the same page. We need to all be going in the same direction. We need to be in one accord. And authority brings that one accordness. Because you do not want to be in an army on a battlefield without authority. Because when it goes bad for the army on the battlefield and they lose, it goes bad for those of us at home. That's why those of you who've been in the United States Army, you know the discipline of the army. You know there's a reason they used to call it boot camp. I've had man after man tell me how literally the will of the soldier is broken. And if there's one thing you don't question, you do not question authority. You follow order. Because there will come a time when that will save your life. And not just your life, but the life of those back home you are fighting. Don't raise your hand, but many of us struggle with this. To submit to human authority. Especially to a president or to a governor. To an emperor. Can I remind you who's emperor? It's a Caesar named Nero. Have y'all read about him? You could take every president we've got, take every bad trait they've had, put them all together, multiply them by two, and it doesn't come close to this guy. You know what this guy actually did? He wanted to entertain not just in day, he wanted to entertain at night. And to entertain at night, he would take Christians, tar and oil them, put them on poles. And when the sun would start to go down, he'd set them on fire. And he'd have a lavish party at the palace. Read this week, one of his hobbies was racing his chariot. He got tired of racing his chariot in the day, so he decided to race his chariot at night. He had a track, and you know what he did? You know who lit the track at night? Christians. And And Peter says, and initially the Holy Spirit to the church living under Nero, submit to him as supreme. And then those guys that he sends out to punish those who do evil, and those guys called governors that he sends out to praise those who do good, submit to them. Can I just bring all of us as Christians back to reality in Hardin, Kentucky? Praise God, we do not have a man like that. Praise God, there's not a day when we have to acknowledge he is Lord. We're a republic. We do not have one man that rules us. We have a representative government that represents us. We vote for them in office, and when we vote for them in office, they make decisions on our behalf, not always the decisions we would want them to make. But when those decisions are made, as Christians, we submit. I see it in your face. Your unredeemed flesh is struggling. Probably only because we're a verse by verse through the Bible preaching church would we even address this. With what's been going on politically the last 4, 5, 6, 8 years in our nation, not a popular subject. But it doesn't change the Word of God. There is an action that God expects of us as his followers that reveal our identity, and that action is an attitude, an action of submissiveness to governmental authority. Ours happens to be three branches: House of Representatives, a Senate, legislative branches, then an executive branch, a president, an administration, and then a judicial branch, starting with the Supreme Court. Now, why do we submit? Because they make right decisions? No. We hope they make right decisions. But what does Peter say? Why? For the Lord's sake. Please hear this. You can reject this when you get home if you want to reject this, but please do not reject it right now. Just listen. We don't do this for our sake. And we don't do it for their sake. We do it for the Lord's sake. That's Jesus. Wow. It's Jesus. Can you imagine writing to a group of people who have an emperor who believes he's Lord? And now you're being reminded that you're not doing this for his sake, you're doing it for your Lord's sake, which is Jesus. Wow. Now, let's be honest here. We do stuff all the time for not our sake, but other people's sake. Agreed? Agreed? And can we just be honest? We usually don't like it. Agreed? Because if we like doing it, we wouldn't do it for their sake. We'd do it for our sake. But we're doing it for their sake. I don't know if you know this about me, but we have animals, a lot of animals on our farm. There's two animals. Can I just say... I'm not a horse lover. Can I just say I'm not even a horse lacquer? Not too long ago, Mimish came to me and she said, can we get Evie Kate a horse? Where are we going to put it? Front pasture. I said, we'll have to sell 5 cows for that one horse. But I agreed. Then we had to get another horse, Leighton, Aniston, and Maymay. That's 5 more cows gone. But here was the clincher. All I had to do was give up the front pasture. I was never going to have to do anything for the horses at all. How many of you believe that? I believed it. You know what I have to do from time to time? 4, maybe sometimes 5 times a week. I'm the one right before dark, goes to the barn and mucks the barn. I don't know why we call it muck in the barn, we'll call it yuck in the barn. You know, all of those cows we have on the pasture, everything that's inside them, when it comes out, it just stays where it is. But if you have a horse, can't leave it where it is. So I have to get in a little stall. I have to take a little instrument, and everything that was in them is now in little piles. And me who do not like horses, yeah. And then there's the liquid form. And yeah. All of it has to come out every night into a meal. And then, that's not all. We have to put hay in a special net and hang it just right. And then water. Oh, they have to have clean water every day. Which means if they didn't drink all of their water, I have to pour that water out, clean out their bucket and fill that up fresh, and then feed them, then close the door, turn a light on for them in the barn so it will not be too dark. Now y'all hear me say this. You think that's on Brother Ricky's bucket list to want to do? Do you know why I do it? For those girls' sake in my life. And for that number one girl in my life's sake. I do it. Do you know why we have an attitude in the church of submissiveness toward others, even those in higher authority? It's because of our Lord. It's for His sake. It's important to Him, and because it's important to Him, it's got to be important to us that we do this. Now, I want to be honest with you. I'm kind of liking the two horses a little bit. And I'm kind of liking playing with the, you know. Do you know why my attitude's changing? Because how important this is to somebody else in my life. Tell us we do this for our sake, and he doesn't tell us we do this for Rome's sake. He tells us we do it for the Lord's sake. So I'm going to ask you, if you're a Christian, to let your behavior reveal who you are. Now, I just want to ask you this. Are you a chosen race? Are you a royal priesthood? Are you a holy nation? Are you a people of His possession? Are you a sojourner? Are you an exile? Then Peter says the way we reveal that is our attitude toward human institutions. Now, he's not going to just say that and move on. He's not going to explain this because, listen, you think you're struggling? As a Democrat who has to put up with a Republican president, or a Republican who has to put up with a Democratic president, Can you imagine Nero? He says, for this is the will of God. Everybody's always wondering what God's will is. Well, I'm going to tell you what God's will is. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now, in the context here, what's the doing good? The doing good is being submissive to governing authorities. So what's God's will? It's for us to submit to government authorities and other human institutions. And as we do good. And when we do good, guess what we do? We muzzle. That's what the word silence means here. We muzzle ignorance of foolish people. See, what we sometimes want to do as Christians, we want to get into mouth-to-mouth combat and have debates. But that's not God's will in this area only. He says, I want people to see you. I want them to see this good action of yours, of being submissive, bringing yourself under the authority of others. And what's going to happen is all of those things that are being said about the church, the way they speak evil, Corey mentioned things last week, your actions are going to put a muzzle on that. And it's going to stop their ignorance, because they're fools. Why didn't some of us think of that before? We can't think that way because of our flesh. Our flesh won't let us. Our flesh is into me, and our flesh is into protecting us and what's ours. God's got a bigger plan for you. He wants to hush people up. So watch this. All of a sudden, somebody's going to start seeing you. And then down at the store or down at the ball game or in the business world, somebody's going to say something about a Christian. Somebody's going to step and go, I know Brian. I know Wendell. I know Bobby. I know Scott. I know Mickey. You're wrong. That's not who those people are. I know Jeff. And all of a sudden, all of the slander and all of the wrong and all the evil about the church is going to stop. Because people are not going to believe what they've heard said, they're going to believe what they've seen. And that's you. And that's me. Whoa. Now watch this. What's the next thing he tells us? Live as people who are free. Now, some of you have just thought your freedom is being taken away from you. Peter's encouraged us to live as free people. But listen, it's not free to do what you want, it's free to do what you ought. And you and I don't determine the ought. If we're Christians. He says, live as people who are free. Then he puts a knot. Not using your freedom as a cloak or a coat for evil. Things that are wrong. Things that your unredeemed flesh would like to engage in. No, we're not going to use Christian freedom that way. But living as, look at this, this is not Brother Ricky, this is the Word of God. As what? servants of God. Another identity marker. We're not only a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his possession, sojourners, exiles. We are servants of who? God. Wow. You following? In the letter that Peter wrote to the church, he uses the Greek word doulos, which was the word for that slave who got sold. He got bought. He went to a new place. And it did not matter what his will was. His will is now subject to the will of the master. Can we imagine that? We can't imagine that. But you have to see that picture. Your will isn't your will. It belongs to someone else. That's who you are. You were bought with a price. You were paid for by God. When he put his son Jesus on that cross so that he could redeem you from sin and set you free, but the only way you can be free is by serving him. Wow. So let's ask this question. Do you know you're a servant? Did you have any battles this week where, you know, you really wanted to do something, but then you reminded yourself, man, I just don't need to do that because that's not who I am. I'm a doulos of God. See, this is why the verses before are telling us we've got to war, go to war against the passions of our unredeemed flesh. We can't let them win. Or we'll make the situation about us instead of making the situation about others. We are servants of God. Our will is in subjection to God. So when it comes to the area of authority in our life, in human institutions, if I'm his servant, I subject my will to his will, and what's his will? For me to submit. Why? For his sake. So that his will can be revealed in our life through the good deed we're going to do, which is going to close the mouth of the unbeliever. Wow. What a God. Then he's going to make a summary statement. In our English Bibles, he says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God. Oh, Peter, why did you have to do this? Y'all look up there. What does it say? Honor. Honor who? Who? The emperor. Can I just remind those in Western Kentucky who that is? It's President Biden. Peter, why don't you just stop with fearing God? In the letter he wrote to the church, Greek language can be a little different. It reads different. Here's what it says. It's like a list. All honor. Brotherhood, love. God, fear. Emperor, Nero, honor. We as Christians hear me. Because we are servants of God, honor all people. Doesn't mean we agree with all people. Doesn't mean we honor people all the same way. But the lowest of the low, the scoundrel of the scoundrels, we know as Christians still bear some resemblance of the image of God. And we know and hope and believe they are still redeemable. And therefore we give what honor we can. We place what value we can on them. And when it comes to the family, we love each other. Yeah. We got a big, big family. And you know what's the core quality in us? We love one another. Jesus told us, by this the world will know we are his disciples, by the way we love one another just as he loved us. Now Peter's saying, when it comes to a brother or a sister, you love. Love meaning what? We love them not for what we get, but we love them for what we can give. This doesn't mean we tolerate sin in the life of the family. But it means we try to elevate that need to a place of priority. And we're doing this not because of something in us, we're doing this because of something in them. Because we're family. And when it comes to God, we fear him. This word fear is where we're getting this word phobia from. It means to be frightened of. It means to be terrified. It means to shake. It means to tremble. It means to run away from. Our God is holy, holy, holy. The seraphim who stand and minister in his presence and seeing how holy he is, they have to cover their face. They have to cover their feet. He is so holy. One holy doesn't get it. It's holy, holy, holy. Only attribute of God elevated to the third superlative in Scripture. But as this word is applied to him, it doesn't mean that we as believers run away from him. He's our dad, but it does mean this. We're in awe of him. We reverence him. We worship him. Here's why I think Peter's doing what he's doing. If we are in awe of God and who he is, then we know who we are. And we don't put ourselves in the same category as him. Agreed? Agreed? Therefore, when it comes down to a decision where we're going to do it our way or his way, which way are we going to do it? His way. Why? Because we're scared to do it our way. Because if there's a choice between his way and our way, his way is best. If I do it my way, it could be disastrous. So I'm going to go his way. Now, what's the context here? We got a choice. What's our behavior going to be toward those who have authority over us? I'm going to submit. Why? Because of my fear of God. And because of my love for you. And because how I see people as being valuable, I'm going to trust that God knows what's best. And I'm not going to do my thing. I'm going to do his thing. And here's what he tells me. He starts this paragraph by telling me that I've got to be subject for his sake to every human institution. And then he gives me two in particular, the emperor and his governors. And now he closes this paragraph by saying, honor the emperor. Which means what? If you're a Christian, You got to put value on our president, whether you voted for him or not, whether you agree with him or not. You got to honor him. I'm going to just tell you what we better not be doing as a church. We better not be following or saying that little "let's go Brandon" thing. You're not hurting him when you do that. You're hurting your Lord. Because that is not who we are. We are servants of God. We want to do his will. And so when it comes to the world seeing good deeds, yeah, we're going to pick four or five more. Not this one, but this is the one that Peter starts with. Because it conveys the heart of God. Now, can I just say this? The ones among us who are having the most trouble are us men. Can I just remind you that the Bible is going to use the same word to tell your wife to submit to you. If you're struggling to submit to government authority, just imagine how she's struggling to submit to you. I know. I know, I get it. But this is the word of God. Wouldn't you like to change the world's attitude about the church? Let's remember who we are. We're servants of God. And let's do whatever we do for his sake. Because he knows best. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for the truth of your word, no matter how much it hurts. Father, you don't want just an action, you want an attitude of honor, love, and fear among your people. And those attitudes should govern our relationships. We do not have to disagree. And praise to you. We in the United States don't have to live under the reign of a Nero. And every 2, every 4 years, 6 years, we get to vote. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you for letting us be Christians who live in this great, great country. And it's in your precious son's name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.